We hear again from the reading of Acts chapter 6. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at Stephen, but he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In the name of Jesus. A life of strength or a life ineffective? A life of success or one of weakness? A victorious life in control or one of being roadkill at the side of the road? Which would we choose? Maybe the question is, what kind of life does our Lord give us? He gives us, among other things, to look at Stephen. Scripture speaks of Stephen in power. Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So what Christian wouldn't want to be described with those words, full of grace and power? That's the effectiveness, the success, all that. But then we turn to look at Stephen again, and it's different. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at Stephen. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Acts 7:57. What to do with this contrast between the victorious Christian life, or whatever we want to call it, and a life of suffering? We can speak of the victory that we have through Christ Jesus, but then we find ourselves having to speak of the utter weakness in which we find ourselves entangled every day of every week. Maybe it's something we can't quite get someone else to do. We can't really get a loved one to come to church to receive the gifts of Jesus. That should be easy, but we can't even do that. We're weak. We can't seem to rid ourselves of thoughts of retribution. Someone has done us wrong. They really should have to pay the price for it. That's the law. That's only fair. Why can't we be done with these thoughts of retribution and instead have thoughts of kindness and mercy? If we can't even do that, we're weak. We find ourselves in shame by a past wrong done against us or someone we love, by someone who has taken advantage of us, and we can't even be done with the shame. We're weak. What are we to do with this contrast between the victorious life and the life of weakness, suffering? When the Lord takes a person, he takes that person and makes him or her his own. The Lord sets that person out into the world in weakness. This life belongs to us by the gospel. And that does make sense, for after all, everyone, Christian, non-Christian, pagan, everyone has the law. So if the law shows you how to live a successful, strong, effective, and all the rest life, well then good, we'll just become teachers of the law. But our life is given us by the gospel. The gospel is that Christ Jesus willingly shed the blood on the cross to atone for all sinners, to justify us before his Father. The gospel is that Jesus, known as the suffering servant, brings his cross to us in baptism, making us his own. The gospel, then, it is the life of victory. Victory over sin and death, victory over the devil and the accusation in our consciences, Victory over the shame we're covered in this sinful world, over the guilt for our own sin. The gospel is victory in Christ. The gospel is the power of God, Paul tells us, to save sinners. But the gospel will not look like victory in our sinful world. The gospel will not look like victory to our sinful flesh. It looks and must look like utter weakness. The weakness of an innocent man hanging on a cross. Of innocent Stephen, later, who belongs to the victory of the cross, the victory of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Stephen, having rocks thrown at him by evil men, killing him. The gospel looks like a Christian, any Christian, every Christian, you, me, our families. Looks like a Christian going through life with affliction, with pain, with doubt, with stumbling around, trying to figure out how to handle some problem effectively, but not knowing how. The gospel looks like a Christian living anything but the victorious life, yet knowing that he or she belongs to the suffering servant of the cross. And by the one on the cross, all sin is forgiven, and that is victory. The gospel is the power of God then justifying the sinner, bestowing the Holy Spirit, rescuing from sin, death, and the devil, so that the sinner now belongs to life and is at peace with God. The gospel is the power of God to rescue out of death into life. But when the Lord gives the gospel into our lives, when the gospel cleanses the conscience and creates the heart of faith to sinful flesh, it appears weak. Stephen the martyr. In the church year, his day comes one day after Christmas. So it's only going to end up on a Sunday, on average, one out of every 7 years. One day, the church is hearing the heartwarming account of the Christ child, and the next day, the account of a saint stoned to death. Martyr, that's not an English word, it comes from the Greek. Martyr is simply the Greek word meaning witness, one who bears testimony. Stephen bore witness to the gospel. The Lord gave Stephen's life as testimony to Jesus Christ crucified, to sins forgiven by the blood of the Son of God. For this gospel, Stephen bore witness. He's a martyr. Which tells us something about the Christian life, about our own lives. We would want to think that our lives are given to be victorious Christian lives. And if you come to hear something from the pulpit, maybe it could even just be a good motivational speech. That's how you live a victorious life in this world. Impressive testimonies to the power of God. Who among us wouldn't want this? Yet, we're marked by the gospel. And the gospel is not the word of God to control things around you or to crush people, to overpower, like rocks being thrown at Stephen. But the gospel is God speaking in kindness and grace, speaking a word not to crush or destroy, but to comfort, to forgive, to bring hope and life in a world of despair and death. The comfort is sins forgiven. The hope is the sure and certain confidence of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Our lives are taken up into that. Our lives are given in witness by the Lord of that. We have been taken up by the Lord and given his name. That's baptism. We are given to eat and drink of the body and blood of the cross according to the word and promise of Christ Jesus. But Christ Jesus, we will never forget, is the suffering servant. That's weakness. And our lives belong to that. We live lives still in this sinful world, still in our own sinful flesh. And according to our sinful flesh, we will never be anything except sinners before God. But at the same time, we are given our life of faith, our life breathed into us by the gospel, our life which knows only the word of Christ Jesus and his gift of righteousness. And in this life of faith, we will never be anything before God except righteous and holy. That is what the blood of Christ does. So we consider Stephen, our brother in the faith. Our Lord put him in front of us so that we can see this saint and consider his life and give thanks for it. Our brother in the faith, Stephen, but also our brother in suffering, though we have not been called upon yet to suffer in martyrdom as he did, but he is our brother in the faith, and he's our brother at the Lord's table. For even as we are at the Lord's face, at the Lord's table today, so Stephen is at the Lord's face at the banquet in heaven. We know that even as we live our life of sinful flesh, our life of faith lives from the gospel. And even as we are afflicted, though not as Stephen was maybe when he was being stoned, but even as we're afflicted, we along with Stephen find our life in the word of all sin forgiven. We give thanks to our Lord for placing saints before us as testimonies to the Lord's gift of faith and in witness of his gospel of everlasting life. And as we see those, even in our own lives, who have sinned against us, we know that we, along with Stephen our brother, are given to speak to them in grace and mercy, praying to our Lord, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. For the Lord to whom we pray has not held our sin against us. In the name of Jesus, amen.